good evening. It has been my purpose in my remarks this morning and continuing again this evening to draw our attention to the fact that having celebrated 25 years in the Lord's service here at Valley Bible Chapel, in a sense, we're facing a new challenge. Where do we go from here? This morning, we took several passages from the book of Exodus and tried to make some points as to what God would have us to do. And I would like to continue that vein this evening in the book of Joshua, looking at just several random portions to see in them if we can get some indication, some value, some direction that God gave to his people as they took over that land in those days. If there isn't some truth there that would bear upon our circumstance here at Valley Bible Chapel. You remember this morning we were talking about the passage through the Red Sea, and you're aware of the fact that that nation, something over 2 million men, women, and children, moved out into the wilderness for 40 years. God's hand moved in judgment. What a defeating thing it must be to be putting in time. God was not going to give that people what he promised them until the hand of judgment had moved through that nation. And they moved about. God was with them, did some remarkable things for them. But in a sense, they were marking time. A generation had to pass away. They didn't have ambulances or hearses in those days, but I guess there were hearses around, huh? Every place they stopped, when they moved on, there were graves left behind. Day after day, year after year, for 40 years, until the generation passed away. Brethren and sisters, that might not be true of the witness here at Valley Bible Chapel. We pointed out this morning that in many respects we have a new generation here at the chapel. Oh, that God would move in and bless us and challenge us and cause us to move out in service for him. With the 40 years over, with that generation gone, we have a nation, over 2 million people, whose ages were less than 40, or 40 thereabouts and less. Isn't that an interesting circumstance? There were no elderly people save two. And we'll talk about those, brethren, in due course. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God provided for their every need. And in the course of time, they came to the River Jordan. Joshua has taken over. Moses has been put aside. And God gives an unusual direction through Joshua, his servant. I want 4 priests to pick up the ark, and I want them to walk into that river. And the scripture is very careful to remind us that it was at the flood time of the year. I wonder what went through the minds of those priests. Lord, you have told us to walk into the river, and walk in we will. Hope it isn't too deep there. Lord, how far do you want us to walk? And the 4 men, in confidence and trusted the Lord, walked into that room. And God moved. The waters were stopped, and that river disappeared, and the land dried out, and that nation walked across as those priests stood and waited. You remember that they were told to pick a man from each tribe and pick up a rock. And in the middle of the river, a monument was laid down. 12 stones, one for each tribe, to commemorate what God did in that place. They reached the other side. The priests came out. The river flowed over its banks again. Do you remember in World War II, the word beachhead was used commonly? The Allies went over the channel and they established a beachhead. Here it is. The people are across. God did what he said he was going to do. And here they are, 2 million of them, in the enemy's country, but God had given it to them. The problem is, go in and take it. It is not yours as a gift. Go in and take it. And there they stood. And a very remarkable thing happened at that point. If you care to read it, turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 5, and let's just look at these several points now as we scatter through this book. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. The beachhead has been established. The armies are ready to move out. At that time, verse 2 of chapter 5, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel. Instead of the victory, instead of the glory, instead of marching out, God had an experience for these people, and it was going to hurt. And there was a time of weakness, a time of pain, a time of discomfiture. But don't you see, it was absolutely necessary that that generation that had been walking these several years now had not taken upon themselves the mark that God had given to his people. It was time for them to identify in God's way with what God wanted those people to do. There was a time for fleshly things to be put aside. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to know something of that experience before God is going to push us out into new country and shower blessing upon us. That which is of the flesh, that which is of self, that which is of the world is going to have to be cut clean, and we're going to have to reckon ourselves as men and women who are where we are because Jesus Christ has paid for our redemption at infinite cost. And because of what he has done, we can move out, but there are things that have to be left behind. And there's going to be a price that is going to have to be paid. Come with me, please, to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. They move out of Gilgal, and God takes them to Jericho, and there's a great military victory. God takes them to Ai, a different circumstance, some lessons that had to be learned. And from these two experiences, they move out in an orderly fashion to possess the land that God had promised them. But the taking of that land is going to involve conflict and fighting. Joshua 17, verse 14. And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much
hitherto?
And Joshua answered them, If thou art a great people, then get thee up to the forest area, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, and the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth-shean and its towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is forest, and thou shalt cut it down, and borders of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they are strong. God told these tribes, what you have isn't enough for you. Perfectly all right. Go take the mountain. But there are enemies there. There is power there. There are problems there. But the promise was the same. I will go with you. Move out. Take it. It is yours. I will be with you. Now, you know, as I read that, I wonder, we have considered together the challenge that God has given us here at Valley Bible Chapel. Is Washington Township too narrow for you? There's Paramus right over here. Bergen County is all around us. Is Washington Township too narrow for our effectiveness for God? Well, that's a feeble excuse this time. What will God do for this congregation and this beacon place where the word of God has gone forth? How far will God take our influence and use our testimony if we are serious about moving out for Him? Isn't that an interesting statement? Isn't that interesting? How far will He take the word of God from this place if we are willing to pay the price? You have to know that there will be battle involved. You have to know that there will be strife involved. And this is not a strife for the elders. This is not a strife for the Sunday school teachers only, or for any other group in the assembly. It is Valley Bible Chapel collectively, a family of redeemed people anchored in this place. It isn't individuals that are going to move out this way. We as an assembly have to be prepared, each of us individually, armed and ready for combat. Are we willing to pay that kind of a price? Let me push that point just a little bit further. If we are really serious about seeing the work here at Valley move out, the key word involved is discipline. Amongst us, there is a price to be paid. Might I suggest to you that that discipline will start as we get our tools, our swords sharpened and ready for combat? Might I suggest that the discipline that God would have us exercise will start with the discipline of setting the alarm clock for tomorrow morning? Are we serious about this? Are we serious enough to see that we have to get this book under control? We have got to learn to use it powerfully and there is no substitute for getting into it in a serious way. How about tomorrow morning? Can you put aside 15 minutes to read the first chapter of Romans tomorrow morning, to be very practical about it, to get on our respective knees and to ask God for His blessing in our experiences in the days before us and for the testimony here at Valley Bible Chapel? It has to start somewhere. Would there be a better place than the discipline of getting our sword sharpened starting tomorrow morning? Brethren and sisters, it comes down to the determination, how serious are we about this? And the responsibility is not somebody else's, the responsibility is mine, to get to grips with spiritual things. And I suggest to you that with God's Word will be an excellent place to start. Now, you will recall that before they came across the river, there were 2.5 tribes who found it very desirable to stay on the wilderness side of Jordan. They were herdsmen. They had cattle in great numbers, and the territory there was convenient for them, and they were given permission to make that their inheritance on the condition that they would come across the river with their brethren and fight with the nation until everyone had secured their land. So 9.5 tribes came across the river, and of course the fighting men of the other 2 tribes also. And what I want you to see with me is the possessions that were marked for each of these tribes was determined by God in quite a remarkable way. Would you turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and I want to read the first and second verses. Joshua 14, 1 and 2. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribes. Now I could hear perhaps someone say, oh, the division of the land was done by gambling. Not so. This casting of lots is mentioned some 25 times in the book of Joshua, and it was the method that God used to determine the actual land areas that these people would possess. The lot was cast, and there's a beautiful verse in the Proverbs, the lot is cast, but the entire disposition thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33, or to use the vernacular, man throws the dice, but God makes the numbers come up. That's another way of saying the same thing. There was a method. There was a method that God selected for the determination of who God was. It wasn't a random thing. God moved in a special way to determine where each of these tribes would find their way. Now I want to make a little analogy here that I think is very important. Do you remember on our big weekend, several weekends ago, we saw a series of slides, and some of those early pictures dating some almost 70 years ago showed the start of the spiritual work that is now Valley Bible Chapel Chapel housed in storefront locations, variously located in Hackensack. Just a handful of people in a storefront event. I have been to some of those. There aren't very many around these days. But I want to tell you, if you get down to some pretty basic things when you're sitting on a kitchen chair with 10 or 15 around you trying to maintain a work for God. But God honored that feeble effort, and in the course of time, a building was provided. That building is still standing on Euclid Street in Hackensack. And the work prospered in last ways, to be sure. The Sunday school grew, people were invited in, souls were saved, and it became very obvious that that modest building would not meet the spiritual needs of this growing assembly. So spiritual men started to seek out the possibilities. Someone said, was it something like 7 churches were within walking distance of that area? Brethren went from door to door to find out what the disposition of the area was. Plans were drawn up, they were on the bulletin board, to enlarge this Euclid Street building. And it was decided that that area was not suitable to stay, so brethren started to scan the area. And several locations, suitable locations, were found. And investigations started. And spiritual men, looking to the Lord for wisdom and blessing, and the decision was made. And this was the lot that God provided for this little company of Christians. Look what has happened in 25 years. 3 additions have been added to this building. A whole new parcel of land has been purchased. A new generation has come through the chapel. Men and women have been reached for Christ as a result of the testimony here. God has proven that this is the place where this assembly should be located. That has been determined and proven over and over again. The question now is, what direction should we move in? What would God have us to do? Are we going to lay on our oars, as it were, a comfortable group of people, economically well taken care of, $250,000 plant? Things are going nicely. Or would God have us get busy and reach out for the only reason that there are men and women about us on their way to a lost eternity, and they aren't even aware of it? As God has this beacon in this place to do something about that situation. And therefore, you and I have a responsibility to go in and possess the land, to enlarge our borders, to put the stakes down deeper, that God can bless us indeed. Come over, please, to Joshua 15 to move ahead hurriedly. Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. Joshua 15, 16 through 19. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kiriath Sefer, and taketh it to him, will I give Aksa my daughter in marriage. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and Caleb gave him Aksa, his daughter, in marriage. Now watch this voice. And it came to pass, as she came unto him on their wedding night, that she moved Othniel to ask of her father a field. Now note what happened. she asked Othniel to ask her father, and she alighted from her ass, and Caleb said unto whom? Unto her, unto Aksa, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the Negev. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. The point that I want to make at this point is, possession will be by request. She asked for a second wedding dress. Now, this is a delightful little story. It is only given to us in several verses. It is not mentioned elsewhere. And I suppose secular writers could make this Aksa some ravishingly beautiful girl and Othniel going out to fight for her. We don't know any of the details. None of the details of this are given to us at all. The very fact that Caleb offered this kind of a prize for the defeat of that city says that there were problems there. That was not going to be an easy battle. How Othniel did it, what he did, how he did it, Scripture gives us no detail. But he did it. He wanted the prize, and he did what he had to do to get the prize. Nothing is told us about this girl except the little passage here. And she was something special, to be sure. She goes to her father, who had already given her a major parcel of land. But the request is, Daddy, I want the water that goes with it. I want the upper springs, and I want the lower ones also. I wonder if we can see the message that is there for you and for me. You see, the water, particularly in this country, these countries, has to do with refreshment. I want the refreshment that comes from above. I want the refreshment that comes from beneath. I want God to rule in blessing on the territory that you have given to me. Brethren and sisters, what do we know on a daily experience of refreshment from the upper springs? There is refreshment available. Are available to us. Overwhelmingly ask for it, and we have access to it through His Word. Do we know something of that kind of refreshment on a daily experience, day by day, going to the upper springs, for that which is deep, that which lifts our hearts up and draws us closer to Himself? Ask for it. It's available. Why do we have to walk through experiences with our nose on the ground when we have access to the King of Kings and glory is available to us? Ask, and ye shall receive, and the source of it is in our very hands. But she wanted the lower refreshments also. Brothers and sisters, are we aware of the fact that God would love to make me a refreshment to somebody? God wants to take every single one of us and be through us a blessing. Are we aware of the fact that there are people in our spiritual family right here in Valley that are hurting, that need a touch, a concern, a heart interest, a telephone call, some little God has laid that burden on my heart. Nobody has to know a thing about it. That's between me and Him. But don't you see, my antenna has to be up. I have to know something of His presence, communing with Him and He with me, and know the circumstances of my brethren to where the needs are, and then quietly do something about it. What an assembly this could be if our antennas were up and we were in daily contact with the refreshment from Himself. And then as the refreshment comes to me, let it go through me and out to those who need that special touch and that gift from His hand. Oh, brethren, that we might know something about that. Let us strive to be lower springs, sources of refreshment, that God might walk with us and use us for His glory. Well, turn with me, please, now, and I'm running out of time, and I've got several points yet. Rather than look at the scriptures, let me just quietly read them and allude to them, please, as I make my point. Possession has to do with capacity. And I have three scriptures that I want us to read, and very quickly, in Joshua 17:16, one of the families could say, "There's not enough for us." Another one could say, "You've given us too much." And another one could say, "Too little." And it has to do with capacity. Brethren, what is my capacity to hold the blessings that God would have for me? Isn't it thrilling that our spiritual capacities can be elastic? There doesn't have to be an iron box with definite walls to it and clamped and locked in. They can be elastic in the sense that what He gives me for blessing this morning, to the ability that I have to appreciate and to revel in what God has given me today, tomorrow there is more out there for me, and I can enlarge in my capacity and in my appreciation for what God has done every day a little bit more, walking with Him, appreciating the everyday experiences as He walks by my side, and enlarging capacity to understand and to appreciate and to love Him and to speak for Him with greater and greater facility and ease as we practice and as we walk before Him. But to move along very quickly, in Joshua 14, we have the story of Caleb. Do you remember that dear man? He was the oldest man in the whole nation then. And in Joshua 14, Caleb comes before Joshua, and he reminds him, because Joshua had been with him, you remember. 40 years ago, Moses sent me as one of the spies out into the land. And I brought back absolute positive evidence of the grace of God and the care of God in that land. I saw it with mine eyes. You remember, they brought back on a pole. It took two men to carry it, a sample of the bunches of grapes they took in the promised land. And to Caleb's horror, the people had said, "No, we will not go in." And they walked and were destroyed, a generation of them lost in the deserts and the wilderness. But Caleb could say, "As my strength was then, so is it now. I want that mountain." Caleb, you're up in years.
You can't climb up mountains anymore. It's retirement time. Take it easy. You're entitled to your effort. Give me the mountain. There are enemies there. It is uphill. As my strength was then, so is it now. Give me that mountain. You see, that's what you call moving out by faith, is calling upon God with every confidence that God will meet his needs and give him that mountain. And he would have the joy and the thrill of walking with the Lord and seeing evidences of God's faithfulness as enemy by enemy were defeated and he took over that mountain for God. Brethren and sisters, where do we stand in this matter? Are we content to sit here, or do we really have a desire in our hearts that in the days and in the weeks that lie ahead of us, that God will touch our hearts and put us to work, that we might see blessing in this place as we've never seen it? Last Monday evening at Stockade, Ed Kuczynski and the rest of us had a little meeting afterward, and Ed was over the moon. One of his boys, several weeks ago, had asked him to put on the blackboard how you get saved. And Ed put some steps down on the board, and they talked about it. And last Monday evening, this young fella went up to Ranger Ed and said, remember the lesson? I took that paper home, and in my bedroom, I accepted Christ as my Savior. That boy comes from the church in Westwood. No contact with Valley Bible Chapel other than Monday night stocking. Wouldn't it be terrific if that was the start of an outpouring of blessing in salvation in this place, the like of which we have never seen before? Is he able to do that? Of course, of course, of course. Am I ready to pay the price? It isn't going to happen if I'm content to stay home. It isn't going to happen if I'm not serious about this word. It's not going to happen if I don't know time on my knees in his presence. But brethren, he's ready